Yeah. Sun's out. Buns out. Let's go, baby. Fraudsters presents Fraudwire. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Cena Gazdavi at Cena Now on all social media at Justin_Williams_comedy. Justin, it is so good to see you. How are you, my friend?
It's good to see you guys, and I hope that it continues as long as the gods at Optimum permit with their beautiful service. We got shout out to Optimum and Time Warner Cable, the best cable operators in the world.
It's like you and the people of Iran are having really difficult time with your internet right now. It's really rough. And with us, joining us in the virtual studio today, is our man in power, the godfather of the Last Podcast Network, who just used his shirt to clean off his lens. Thank you for doing that. That is great. Ed Larson, everybody.
Yo, what's up? Yeah, bang, 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 bang. Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest football team. Sorry, I'll say it.
That's great. They won this weekend, right?
3-0, baby.
Wow. That's incredible. How are the Chiefs doing, Justin? Are you guys doing well?
We are 2-1. We decided to donate a game to the NFL last week.
That's good.
Yeah, we gave the Colts couldn't make kicks or do regular stuff. So, we'll be back.
How generous of you. How generous. That's so fantastic. I haven't followed the Steelers at all. I know there's a quarterback thing. I don't really care. But football is football. We're here to talk about some frauds. We've got a lot of fun stuff for you guys today. I want to dive right into this first story here because it came out right after we recorded, I think, last week. And so it's a little old, but it's still new emotionally for us here at Fraudsters, and that is Kanye West's Donda Academy. Justin, we've talked about fake schools before on this show, and I'm so excited that Kanye West has now joined the ranks of what I believe will probably be a fake school, and I got a couple of things to go over about it, including his quote that he has never read a book, but let's play that clip first. This was an interview that he did here.
Also, when you said I hadn't read this book, I actually haven't read any book. Reading is like eating Brussels sprouts for me.
I mean, I love Brussels sprouts way more than reading.
This was my problem too. I love Brussels sprouts. Let me hear it in the chat if you love Brussels sprouts. But what is, Justin, how big of a problem is this that he does not like to read books?
It's not a problem individually, except for the fact that he's a charismatic celebrity. People then try to find wisdom in the rantings of a man who's not taking his medicine in ways that they wouldn't if he was just a normal person on the subway. So now other people are arguing that they shouldn't go to college or they shouldn't read books. And I think you're seeing the results of it in society.
All I need to do is flow and lay down these beats and I can be like Kanye. Eddie, what do you think?
I mean, personally, I don't think you need to go to college to be successful in life, but I do think that, occasionally you got to read something. it's just, I'm not an avid book reader, but if I ever send my children to a school, I would hope that the person who owns it likes books. It seems a little crazy.
He has this school, and Rolling Stone reported on it because parents were required.
I never heard of this before.
Oh yeah, yeah. So he's got a school now, and it's a tuition-based Christian private school. And you have to pay tuition, right? You're going to get in there. You have to apply to this school. And the reason it got up in the news is because parents have to sign an NDA for when they're sending their kids into the school, which is flag number one. All right.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Even the Catholic Church is like, hey, that's not very transparent.
Yeah. Yeah. Catholic Church is like, wow, how basic do you have to be? You have to have them to sign a form? We just use, shame and guilt to make people shut up.
Now, let me ask you a question. Does this school count as school? If you go to this school?
I love this question.
Have to go to another school to get your actual grades?
The school is not accredited. So maybe, Justin, you're a professor. Maybe you could tell us, like, when a school is accredited or not accredited. I know it's, like, at a college level that matters a lot. But what about, like, the elementary level?
It matters a lot at all levels. So, for instance, when the... When I was growing up in the Kansas City, Missouri school district lost its accreditation, I had to move to the suburbs to go to high school. So that's how much it mattered. I literally had to uproot my life to have a future. I had to leave my community.
Oh my God. Well, Donda Academy's named after, Donda Academy's named after his mom, Donda West. It's not accredited yet, which I think is a huge, huge
she
problem.
She couldn't even research a good plastic surgery.
Yeah. It was in a book.
It was in a book.
I look at these open to Christian Academy because, like, the Bible is a book, you know? He's just like, yeah. I've never read it, you know?
No, why not? It's spoken like the Quran. They just sing it because every morning they do a full school worship. Mm. But they also have classes like language arts, math, science, in addition to lunch, recess, and enrichment courses such as
lunch,
visual
art. As much
art.
As I want it to be, lunch is not a class.
As much as I excelled at lunch, it is not part of my academic career. But listen to this, the enrichment courses, visual art, film, choir, and parkour.
Oh,
I like it because Kanye thinks he's like doing something original, but he's just launching what's just called a performing arts high school, which many of those are accredited around the country.
Yeah. It's just like a magnet school of some kind, right? It's just kind of basic. So this is from the website in the Who We Are section. It says, using an ethic of integrity and care, Donda Academy prepares students to become the next generation of leaders, thinkers, and innovators by providing them with a world-class education that includes a rigorous core curriculum, an emphasis on sustainability, creativity, critical thinking, and problem solving. So I went to the website, and let me see if I can share my screen here.
And it's just a Kanye tweet that just says, Bill Cosby, innocent, in all caps.
So they have like a normal website. You can apply and stuff like that. But at the bottom, you know, there's all those like legal disclaimer things that they have to put in here. And a lot of times, you know, private schools or public schools, you know, whatever they have to have certain things like boilerplate. But everyone has kind of a different non-discrimination policy. It all has to generally say we don't discriminate. But I found this to be pretty interesting. The non-discrimination policy for Donda Academy, it says, Donda Academy does not discriminate on the basis of race, color, sex, or national or ethnic origin in administration of its educational policies, admission policies, scholarship program, and athletic and other school-administered programs. Great. Fantastic. Absolutely. I love it. But if you go to the second sentence of this two-sentence non-discrimination policy, Donda Academy does reserve the right to select students on the basis of academic performance, religious commitment, philosophical compatibility, and willingness to cooperate with the Donda Academy administration and abide by its policies. Gosh damn, this guy. This is very problematic. He wants people to be like fall in line with his ethos and everything like that. You got to like be Kanye's disciple before you can actually be in his school.
He's not even allowed to send his own children there.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, it's just disgusting. I hate when people just straight. I went to Catholic school, you know, and that was, you know, a fraud in its own. The fact that I even had religion class, you know, like they graded me on how much I believed in God, which always, even as it was like a second grader, it drove me insane. But you know, this is it, rude, you know, and like, who's falling for this? How many people go to this school?
I mean, plenty of kids are going into it now. I mean, this is crazy, but I guess like,
is it after school? Like, is it like daycare?
No, man, this is school. This is school. So like, Justin, I guess going back to the accreditation question here, do you know how hard it is to get accredited? This is coming from the chat here.
There are, you know, there's like a you know, like the Middle States Commission and all of these other educational bodies, like you have to submit like the CVs of your faculty to see that they went to accredited schools. You have to submit like course syllabi to where independent evaluators are evaluating your content. It's not like the easiest thing in the world, but there are like crazy schools out there that are accredited. So it's like the fact that this is actually crazier than, say, like Bob Jones University that like didn't allow interracial dating on campus until like 2003 or something.
Yeah.
You know, it's like he like that they're accredited and like this isn't. So that should like tell you something.
They read books though. They read books.
Yeah. How is this like worse than Florida? Like he's just like, at least Florida didn't ban all the books. Like,
yeah. Yeah, Florida at least picked the books. They read the books before they banned them, at least, to know which ones to ban. But what do you guys think in general of like celebrities building their own schools? Elon it does this as well. He has his own school where all 6,000 of his children go to, or whatever it is.
It just drives me insane. Like, it's like you have no. He's why would he have a school? Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, there's nothing for him to have this kind of lord over everyone. What's he teaching everybody?
Yeah. Yeah. All of this is. There's two things to this. There's one is that it represents like. The ultimate infiltration of consumerism into education, right? It's just like, are you rich? Open a school. And that's your only, like, you're not even getting the world's experts, like the way, like, the, you know, the Carnegies did with, like, Carnegie Mellon or something like that, right? Where they're attempting to, like, compete with the world's best schools. This is just like, I'm opening something just because I can get tuition from people. And then the second part of this, I think, is all of this is an argument for taxing the rich more, because clearly they have too much money when they're just, like, launching schools in their spare time.
That's a great point.
Yeah, let's just like tax these people so we don't have to worry about Elon Musk launching himself into space for entertainment on a Tuesday.
But this is science. It'll be science class.
Eddie. Is there a uniform? Like, do they have like, do they have to wear Yeezys? Like, what is
they all have? Instead of having to buy all the books, they have to buy all the shoes.
And what if your kid's in a wheelchair? How's he going to succeed in parkour class? You know,
how inclusive is that? You know, it's funny. Last week I mentioned like how crazy things could be. Like, of course, we don't have classrooms with like 30 kids and stuff. We don't have that. And then someone tweeted at me. They're like, hey, man, like, heard you say this on the show. I have something to tell you about the American education system. We have a lot of places with 30 or more students in a classroom. And I was like, God damn, that's a lot. That is so many people in a classroom for one teacher. ISIS started with fewer people. I think this should be noted. This is important to think of. They could rise up against the teacher and just take over.
I had over 40 kids in every class I had.
Jesus.
In high school. My graduating class was like 780 kids.
Oh, that's a huge school.
Yeah. Did you ever walk into a classroom and just be like, I'm your substitute teacher for the day, kids?
I mean, I barely walked into any classrooms, you know.
But I guess, like, aren't we supposed to have like a fundamental layer of higher education, like, or of just education for everyone? Did the internet ruin that? Because I feel like we're so siloed now where everyone thinks they know exactly what kind of education they're supposed to get. And I guess the other side is do we trust the government to maybe say this is the type of education we're supposed to be having, right? I mean, it seems strange now.
I mean, it seems to me that this school doesn't even count. Like if you go, like, what, you're gonna have to repeat second grade if you go, right? Like, isn't it just like it's a bunch of horseshit?
It's a great question. I have no idea what's gonna happen if they try to transfer to like a reasonable middle school of some kind that is accredited. Like, what are they gonna do? I don't understand. But I guess like my biggest problem is like everyone, like Elon made his own school because he's like, I don't believe in whatever we're teaching kids. Even what we grew up with, like how we spent a week on Christopher Columbus, like. You know what I mean? Like, we spent all this time thinking, like, it wasn't, if my sixth grade math teacher didn't show us Roots, I don't know where else I would have gotten that education. And that was a document of movie, you know, a multi-part movie that we watched over an entire week. I mean, already we have problems and huge gaps in what we're teaching everybody, but I don't know if celebrities are the right people to do it, but we've given them an opportunity. Justin, what do you think? Am I making sense here?
It's just like, we just have a really bad class of millionaires and billionaires, man. These people aren't going to leave behind, like, you know, the like JP Morgan book collection, or like there's no public libraries going to be left behind by these people. It's just like, I mean, this is shocking. I mean, that diversity statement there is just like, I don't think legal drew that up.
It's two sentences. No lawyer would write a discrimination policy, non-discrimination policy in two sentences. It's a normal paragraph is three sentences at least. Am I wrong? I mean, come on.
It's driving me crazy, like thinking that he runs a school and it's not being shut. He publicly threatened death against a 28-year-old recently. You know, like, this is like, it's fucking crazy. He's harassing his ex-wife in public. You know, and it's like this guy is running a school? Is he principal?
Is the problem him or the people that are like, you know what? That guy makes a lot of sense. I'm going to send my kids to him. You know, isn't that a bigger problem?
I mean, it is a huge problem, but those kids are fucked no matter what. You know, you have to stop the guy in charge first before you, like, you know, like, work on the minions. You know, it's crazy. It's fucking, it makes no sense. Like, literally, also, like, you know, just thinking about the fact that Kim is dealing with this, like, dealing with getting harassed by her ex-husband, and she's like the most powerful woman in the world and still can't like get him to stop harassing her. Like, and it's just like, the fact that they're going to put this guy in charge of children, like, what mother is going to send their child to this school? Like, it's
also,
like,
but like, listen, I mean, is this a problem for me to say this? What did you expect, Kim? You went and allowed a raptor inside of your body and you had its babies. Like, this is what happens when you cross genes with a dinosaur like Kanye West. I mean, the man's insane.
Yeah, but he was the best thing that ever happened to her. He elevated her legitimacy to a level to where now she's done with Pete Davidson, because Pete Davidson will keep her on Page Six, and watch, her next move will be a billionaire. I promise her next husband will be like a Saudi. He'll be a Saudi prince that has one of the world's largest venture capital firms. And then she will have kind of finally crossed over from, like, you know, Orange County kind of having money to, like, real money. Like, that's the goal. Like, they always, both her and Kanye always wanted to compete with, like, Jay-Z and Beyonce. That was, like, the whole thing about them.
Yeah, it definitely, the Kanye relationship got her into the fashion circles, that got her into, like, the critical acclaim and success that you need to be, you know, in, like, the New Yorker or some shit. You know, before she was just, like, makeup and models and little, you know, booty shots and stuff like that. Now she's, like, couture and all this jazz.
I mean, at least Kim is, like, you know, taking her, you know, clout and doing something positive occasionally, like getting people out of prison, you know, and I really appreciate that. I mean, you know, like, I think it's great, you know, that, you know, I hated her forever. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, wow, this is actually great. Thank you so much for, you know, giving this a shot. And so, like, to see that she's still being tortured by this guy bothers the hell out of me. You know, she's literally just like, she's trying to stay busy releasing people from jail, and then she has to deal with all this other bullshit.
Yeah, it's like it's like watching if OJ had Twitter in his like 30s. Like, that's the kind of stuff he would be tweeting about, you know, the Goldman kid, you know?
You know, it's like, how bad do you have to be to get the world to empathize with Kim Kardashian to this level? So we're like, that poor woman. That poor woman.
Yeah.
Well, it's more, it's not as much as like that poor woman. It's just like, if she can't escape this, like, what hope does any normal woman have, you know, to be able to like escape the fucking tyranny of a psychopath ex-husband?
All right.
Yep.
But there's also a sadness to it, to when, like, you know, if I'm Kanye West and I'm one of the most acclaimed rapper producers of all time, and I'm just constantly having to do things to get attention, I think that is like this like really sad commentary on like what it means to be famous in the internet age. It's like being Kanye West is not enough. He has to launch some goofy school. He has to like threaten to kill his wife on Twitter every other day. It's just like, you know, I don't know. Nobody can be like Quincy Jones now, where you just sort of kind of sit at home and like, you know, have Frank Sinatra over and get wasted and no one knows about it until you write a book about it.
We would do that. We would do this. That's what we would do. We're all the Quincy Jones type, which is why I guess we don't know. Maybe we were born in the wrong decade, guys.
I got a fun Kanye story, a little inside information for you, you frauds.
All right. People. Spill the tea, baby.
He used to, back in the day, he opened for P-Funk on a tour. And P-Funk was smoking weed, and Kanye called the cops on them and tried to get them arrested for smoking weed. When he was opening, he was the opener. Yeah, this is like 2002 or 2001 or something like that. And I remember them telling me that story like before he was super famous, and just be like, God damn, I hate this.
What an asshole. I wonder if that's going to be a class, how to snitch.
Yeah.
could you imagine calling the police with that story? Like, excuse me, police. I don't know if you know of George Clinton and the P-Funk All-Stars, but these gentlemen have marijuana on them. And as if that's even like the worst thing that P-Funk's ever had on tour with them, by the way.
Oh, my God.
I was like,
during the same show, there was a guy smoking a joint in the front row, and Kanye stopped the show and then had the cop from the back of the audience arrest the guy. And then people were booing him, sir.
Yeah. Excuse me, sir. This gentleman has a 18-inch marijuana cigarette here that he keeps smoking.
He called the police because there's an illegally parked spaceship on stage, and
can we get this out of here? All right. All right, our next story. We're on with Ed Larson and Justin Williams here on the Fraud Wire.
Yo, yo, yo.
And so happy, by the way, to be back on the last podcast network, Twitch. We had to make our own Twitch for a while. If you subscribed or did anything there, maybe I'll play some games on the Fraudsters channel. But I love being on the LPN Twitch. Love you guys. So thanks for joining us here today. You know, Justin, we don't normally talk about Trump, but we are going to do some Trump stuff in season 3 coming up here.
Huge.
And I'm really excited about it. But we're going to do his campaign fraud. I guess I'll tease it out a little bit. But one of the things that came up after this and just recently was Tish James again. Letitia James. Hell yes. The New York State Attorney General, Tish James, on last Wednesday, sued Donald Trump and 3 of his adult children, except Tiffany, who speaks for Tiffany, for what she called an astounding fraud of falsely inflating the value of assets held by their family business, the Trump Organization, for their own financial gain. James is seeking penalties that, if imposed, could effectively end the former president's real estate career and would imperil the Trump Organization itself, which started by his father in Queens in the 1920s. They're including banning Trump and his children, Don Jr., Ivanka, and Eric, from ever serving again as officers of a New York registered company, which is not that big of a deal because, you know, you can always just register in Delaware or Nevada or Florida or whatever. The attorney general is asking the court to force the Trumps to repay at least $250 million in what she claims were ill-gotten proceeds. James also said her office would refer evidence to the Justice Department for possible criminal charges, including bank fraud. She said, Mr. Trump thought he could get away with the art of the steal, but today that conduct ends. Oh! why do we have to have such like artful dunks? We can just you did it. Why do you need to? No, everyone's laughing at that. So first of all, let's really get into it here, folks. Honestly, what is Tiffany doing? How is she not involved in anything? How does she get the shaft on literally everything?
I mean, she's just hanging out, having a good time. She's a normal rich kid, you know, just doing nothing, you know, flying in helicopters.
A normal rich
popping
kid.
Popping bottles. That's exactly right. But, you know, this, you know, probably means nothing, I imagine, because every time anyone tries to do anything to him, nothing happens. And so I just imagine this will be the same. Yeah, and that's where we're at, in my opinion.
It is going to be like artificially inflating his assets will be very much kind of Al Capone-ish, because it'll be like, well, if that's what they got him on, that's like the least of what happened, but whatever, as long as it's something, you know.
Yeah, and that's a good, I didn't really get into it, but that's what he's been doing. So when you go to the bank and they say like, hey, you've got this asset and you maybe want to borrow against it, right? Let's say you have a house, there's usually an appraiser that comes and says your house is worth this much. And if you're in a red line district, that appraiser will probably do it less. And that's a huge problem. There's racism rampant through the appraisal process.
Oh my God.
But if you're just a business and you go to the bank, the business says, hey, what's your company worth? You could just send them a spreadsheet that says whatever you fucking want. And so the bank will say, oh, this is a $500 million business. Fantastic. Absolutely. Love this Excel spreadsheet you send. I'm all about it. Here we go. And then you get to get a loan against that, when in reality, you've only got like a, you know, $5 million business that's on your hands there. Now, all of a sudden, this is, by the way, folks, this is how the wealthy not only stay wealthy, but generate more wealth. It's not working harder, right? I always try to think like, if I just work a couple more projects or do a couple more things, I can make more money. That's what like us dumbasses down here do. We should be going to the bank and say, ah, yes, my business has a spaceship. It is worth $3 billion. I'd be like, well, Mr. Gazzamy, you've got a nice suit on. You seem trustworthy, and I'll buy it. That's exactly what they're doing. But I guess my question for you guys, though, Justin and Eddie, what is an asset that you have that you would inflate?
Okay, you want to go ahead, Eddie.
I don't have anything. You know, I don't even have a car. You know, I inflate my assets, you know. I inflate my own self, you know, like that's I pretend like I'm doing better than I am at all times, which is right. You know.
Well, that's what my Instagram's for.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's nothing. My business, like, I think the computer I'm using is my biggest asset, you know, and that's not that great. I got this Scarlett. That's nice.
There we go. Oh, yeah. You could run so much of it. That seems like millions of dollars of high production value technology. You've got a mic that you're just tossing around. That's expensive phone. Equipment there, Eddie. Look at that phone. Justin, what about you?
I'm trying to open a nightclub, and when I do open it, I will say that it is the premier nightclub on the face of the earth. Absolutely. I'll say it's not in Miami Beach. You know, it's not in Dubai. It's in downtown Newark, New Jersey, baby. It is the number one club in the world, bar none. It's huge. Many people are saying it.
Huge. Huge. Many people. Yeah, that's a fact. I've heard a lot of people are talking about it. It's one of the hottest clubs around. It will be open soon.
I mean, if his business is worth so much, how come he never pays his bills?
He's not a billionaire. I don't think he's a billionaire. My opinion is he's just actually not a billionaire. Maybe
it
on
just
paper.
It drives me nuts. My whole life.
There's stuff there, but yeah. Well, what's the most offensive Trump con that you've seen, Eddie? What's the one that pisses you off the most?
My Uncle Joe. He's a roofer. He didn't pay him back in the 90s. He worked on one of his properties in New Jersey, and he, like, didn't pay him. And then he was like, oh, if you want your money, then you'll have to sue me. And Uncle Joe don't got enough money to sue Donald Trump. And so he just kind of has to, like, take the hit. Or, you know, if he brings him to court, the court costs will be more money than he wants for the job that he did.
Jesus.
And that's what he does. That's why he uses independent contractors lawyers all the fucking time because he knows he can pay them or put them out of business and, like, you know, not pay them or put, you know, it, so if they try to defend themselves, they're fucked, God. You know, and that's what he does. And so my whole life, I always knew him as this, like, scumbag who doesn't pay his bills. And then, you know, throughout my whole family knew it. We always talked about it. And not even just like this thing, just in general. In Jersey, you know, that's what he was known as. And then all of a sudden, you know, he's just like running for president. It was like, I was like, oh, no one's going to buy this shit. And then it just seems so crazy. And then, you know, here we are. We're still talking about the fucker. He's going to get away with this. You got to get away with everything. You know, it's just like, it's, when does the mob, the lynch mob, when does that come? Like, when do people, no,
he's,
like,
he's at the front of the lynch mob. He's got his own mob, apparently. I mean, this, yeah, is
that's
what the
thing. Everyone who hates him is rational. You know, like, it's just like, it drives me crazy.
Justin, but what about him. You? What's the one that pisses you off the most?
Well, I mean, he had a fake scam university. So that was like, that was a bad one.
That was, the Trump even, University, that was going to be mine.
Yeah, but then even echoing what Eddie said, you know, just somebody who lives in New Jersey, that, you know, for what he did to Eddie's uncle, he then just, like, did to the entire city of Atlantic City. And if you've ever been to Atlantic City, it's like a place that does not deserve someone to steal from it any more than it's been stolen from. And then he went and just, like, buried the city after that. He was like, well, everyone there is a loser. Nothing was ever going to work there. And it's like the meanest thing you can do to a place that's, like, struggling, you know?
Yeah. He really abandoned that town.
When, you know, you look at Atlantic City these days and it looks better in Boardwalk Empire than it does now, which is a show that took place 100 years ago. And, you know, And Trump himself, like, you know, he left his name on the building forever. I mean, obviously it's all gone now, but, like, you know, he left Carl Icahn in charge, who he then put in his cabinet. And then when he left Icahn in charge, Icahn canceled everyone's fucking pension who worked at Trump Taj Mahal. And so all these people, I was down there filming a movie, and I see, like, as I'm down there, they're just taking. What they're doing is they're just taking everyone was protesting who used to work there, and they brought in scabs, and then they were working there without insurance for years, and then these people still loved him somehow. And then I go into the merch shop and it's like fucking you know, locker up t-shirts, and like it's insane in there. And the Trump Taj Mahal, they had this thing. My mom had a really bad gambling problem, and she had to go to Trump, and she went to Trump Taj Mahal all the time. Drove me crazy. Then what they had, this scam over there where you would write them a check and they would give you cash back, and then you would put the money on the tables, and then if you lost that money you could write another check and they give you cash and whatever. And, you know, and then whenever the check bounced, inevitably, because everyone was a horrible gambler, they would, you know, if you ever bounce a check, I'm sure you guys probably haven't, but I have. And so when you bounce a check, they can deposit it three times. And so when you deposit the check three times, you get hit with a $35 fee each time. And then the other person gets hit with a fee, and then they charge you that fee that they got hit with. Okay. Trump Taj Mahal figured out they could deposit the check three times as a paper check and three times as a digital check. So they were depositing bad checks six times just to make a bunch more money off of people who couldn't afford to pay their checks. And my mom, personally, she wrote like five bad checks, like right in a row. And like, once a check bounces, also, like, aren't you, like, morally obligated to not take more checks from the same person? You know, but, like, they have no way of figuring that out. And so after my mom ended up passing away because of all the stress of all this stuff and, like, you know, like, trying to, like, become, like, a, you know, trying to live her life, I went to the same window where my mom was pulling money out from, and I tried to give them money to pay for it, and they wouldn't take it. They said that I had to, like, fill out a bunch of forms and send money to Las Vegas in order to cover the debts. But if I had because I had cash in hand, so I couldn't give cash to the place where they got cash. Only place I could have put cash down was on the fucking tables, you know, and try to. And that was the only place you're allowed to spend more money. And so I fucking, I like th- Taj Mahal, they ruined that city. And it was business practices, like, because of what Taj Mahal started, just kept going throughout the entire town. And they ended up fucking everybody. They had 3,000 people working there that they laid off right before they closed down. Fuck them. You don't work at a casino as a waitress for 40 years. You do it for a pension, not for no reason. And they just took it from everyone at the last minute. And no one cares. No one tried to stop them. You know, no one did anything. And then the worst part is they blew up Trump Taj Mahal, and it was all over the news. And, you know, you could, you know, do it. But it doesn't matter. They just built another casino right there. You know, it's
all
not like
folks
it was a,
lost their pension.
Yeah, it wasn't like a win. Yeah. You know, it's just someone else coming in to rob someone else differently. So
it's going
to
take a long time.
I feel bad for Atlantic City. You know, they don't have a chance
to rebuild that town.
Well, yeah, because they always blame it because, the way New Jersey is, it's all about like race and class. So they just like go, well, it's just a shithole. And then like all the people that like have engineered urban poverty in New Jersey with the way Eddie described, they all get off the hook because just the people who are the victims get blamed for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, if they only worked harder, pull themselves up by the bootstraps. I just want to chime in with the chat here. Hey, Skulkers, great to see you here. Happy you're here. He says the steaks were awful. Trump steaks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I never had any of the steaks, but the steaks seem pretty
I mean, not
bad.
Just that. I mean, think about this. Donald Trump owns a casino, okay? At the casino, they give away free drinks to anyone gambling, okay? Yeah. He doesn't drink himself. His brother died of alcoholism. And so he's giving free drinks away, knowing that his brother died of this disease. I mean, you know, like how many ways can we call this guy a scumbag?
Yeah. No, plenty of ways. And we're going to try to do it in season 3 of Fraudsters.
I will say, as someone who does go to Atlantic City, you know, sometimes I do. That's not the worst thing is when they give you the free drinks, because I don't gamble. So I'm like, yeah, I'll just stand by a machine and go, yeah, I'll take a, you know, Long Island iced tea, and then just like walk right into the nightclub with it.
Thank God for you.
These are AC hacks by Justin Williams. All right, let's move on here. We got plenty in season 3, which will be starting October 18th, by the way. We're going to drop season 3. We'll see. Yeah. Our deep dives will start then. But a 23-year-old crypto king has luxury cars seized after $35 million investor money vanishes. So this is another crypto thing. We try to cover crypto every week because there's a new one every single fucking week. I think this also came from the Discord. Apologies if I missed who this was. 5 luxury cars, including 2 BMWs, 2 McLarens, and a Lamborghini. I mean, maybe he has a big family. They've been seized from 23-year-old Aiden Platersky, the self-described crypto king of Canada. This is probably the worst thing that's happened in Canada's history. During the bankruptcy proceedings, according to a new report from the CBC, those cars are only worth a fraction of the $35 million that Platersky allegedly took from investors who thought he'd make them rich in the cryptocurrency market. And it's not clear whether they'll ever see that money again. Platersky and his company AP Private Equity Limited, that sounds very official, definitely official, are facing at least 2 civil lawsuits after 140 people have come forward to say they invested a combined $35 million with Platersky. Notice there are people, again, civil suits, no criminal suit, no criminal charges there, you know, maybe one day, but this is what happens with money.
Who would do it? Canada?
Yeah. This is it.
You know,
those
who
people believe they were. Yeah, they're not charging him with anything right now. These
How
people believe they were investing in a cryptocurrency, and Platersky's online presence included photos of the 23-year-old on private jets and next to luxury cars, and they helped that image describe what he was doing. His YouTube channel and Instagram have been deleted. It appears he purchased articles on websites like Forbes.mc, the top-level domain for Monaco, and a far-right news outlet, Daily Caller, to get his name associated with success in the crypto market. What do you know? The Daily Caller! The article from 2021 includes a photo of Platersky looking at his phone in what appears to be a private jet, Notably, December 2021 was a time when cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin and Ethereum were trading near all-time highs. The headline read, Aiden Poterski, meet the young Canadian investor who is taking the world of crypto by storm. Well, is the Daily Caller a victim here, guys?
Justin? No, because then it was said, then when it said click on a related story, it's like Barack Obama is gay was like the second story. So, you know, yeah. I think the Daily Caller is not not exactly a place you go for reputable information. I'm surprised that they, well, not really super surprised because Forbes has some trashy content, but Forbes actually does have like a name that's respectable.
It's supposed to, at least. I mean, that's so what's crazy is I don't understand, like, I guess, I don't know, people in the chat, Glenn Weber over there in the chat, he's from Canada, it seems. We have scumbags up here, too. Of course, there are scumbags everywhere. But what do we do about this crypto thing, and how are these people going to get their money back? Eddie, what do you think of all this?
I mean, how do you trust? I mean, look, he's wearing a Dodger hat and a Marlin jersey. Yeah. You know, like, it's like he obviously doesn't know what the fuck he's doing, you know, but and also... You know, I don't, no disrespect to my people, but he's Polish. You know, you can't put these guys in charge of your money. It's like, how many pierogies could he buy? You know, it's.
All of Greenpoint just logged off of the live stream.
Hey, I get it. I these are my people. I'm not investing in them. You know, we know they're putting screen doors on submarines. You know, and I feel bad for the Polish people. You're always taking, you know, always butt of everyone's joke and all that stuff. You know, people always joke about the Polish hockey team that tragically drowned during spring training. You know, that's fucked up, you know? I went to 4 funerals that week. You know, it's...
Oh, my God. Incredible.
I mean, yeah. I mean, honestly, I hate cryptocurrency. And so, I mean, like, you're trying to cheat the system anyway. So, I'd have no sympathy.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, I think there should be some sort of accountability for like the Daily Caller, for like people that are just taking money from for advertising and stuff. Or I don't even know if they got paid by this guy. They probably just put his picture up and knew that it was clickbait.
I mean, they wouldn't run the ad. I mean, it's so weird. It's a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation when it comes to running ads. You know, like if you choose not to run an ad, then people can make a big deal about, you know, how being discriminated against, you know. And then if you do run the ad, then you're fucked because, you know, you're putting people in trouble because you're running, you know, you're advertising for a shitty agency.
Yeah. I mean, I guess with these things, too, it's like I don't even know if they screen them at all. A lot of these things are automated. You could just put your money in. Upload it, an AI will make sure you don't say, you know, any sort of like racial slur or something, and then maybe they'll just post it. I mean, these places need money to run and spew out all the crazy disinformation that they're putting out. So I guess this is normal. But all this money, man, you committed fraud, and it's just going to be a civil suit. And it's just so, this is why we do this show, because it's going to keep happening. We'll never not have content, unfortunately. So.
unless we make the theme of the show, whatever fraudster there is, I will go into the world. Listen, everybody this like watching and listening to this, if you pay my legal bills, I will punch every fraudster in the face that we cover on the show. I will track them down wherever they are in the world, and I'll knock them out.
Yeah, let's get some...
pull their pants down and spank them publicly. Yeah. I always feel like it's a good idea.
Is this where I'm supposed to solicit people to give donations on the Twitch stream? Is this what people do? Send us money or send us like little gift things, little gift icons or whatever?
I will punch.
20% off to subscribe.
I will punch a 68-year-old Barry Minkow. I will sucker punch him in a bar.
Oh, yeah.
I love
that
it.
That man who's got 350. I love it.
All right, so I want to do one more story. We'll do it real quick. But then, Eddie, I want to get to a scam that you've been through. But first, this one came in through Maxigal today on our Discord, and I just had to bring it up because both of you are Jersey guys. And, Eddie, I know you love a sub. This company called Hometown International was home to owned one deli, and it was called the Hometown Deli.
Fuck yeah.
And Hometown International is a holding company that was public, HWIN. And they just had one asset. We talked about assets just a minute ago. And this deli made $40,000 a year in revenue, basically.
That's not good.
Now, the market capitalization of this company was what? And that's like what people value the company at on the market. How big do you think this company was, guys?
I mean, $40,000, right?
That right, works. You would think that's like generally right, maybe a little bit more than 40. Justin, any guesses?
Let me guess. $85,000.
$85,000. Reasonable guesses for a company. You figure you got some equipment in there that's valuable of some kind. The building cooler. Itself, maybe. You know, I don't know. They rent or own. I don't know.
Some sodas.
It reached a market capitalization of $113 million.
I mean, how good are the sandwiches any good? Where's that in the article?
Well, it's funny you say that because this one investor was writing a letter to his clients and he was saying that someone told him about this stock. And he said in his letter, someone pointed us to Hometown International, HWIN, which owns a single deli in rural New Jersey. HWIN reached a market cap of $113 million on February 8th. The largest shareholder is also the CEO, CFO, treasurer, and a director who also happens to be the wrestling coach of the high school next door to the deli. The pastrami must be amazing.
Hell yeah. Good for that. I love a good sandwich story.
So that CEO was Paul Marino, and he ended up leaving the company, but he was a wrestling coach. And what's crazy is that the people that took over was this guy, James Patton, Peter Cocker. I feel like he's probably corrected people to say Cocker a lot or something like that.
I mean, is there a C in it?
There's a C. C-O-C-O-K-E-R.
Oh, C-O-K. I mean, it's a second C. Yeah, so that's Cocker.
No, there's Cocker. Cocker? Okay, fine. Cocker.
Yeah. Cocker. And there's Joe Cocker.
and then his son also was part of it. And then two other, there was a Hong Kong company and then a company from Macau that were both investors in it. Now, what's crazy is that James Patton, who ended up taking over the company, wrestled for Paul Marino back in the day. So he was a student of his.
Okay.
And so they ended up doing this weird shell game. And there's all of these. This is a very complicated story, and I'm not going to be able to cover it now. I really just wanted to talk about Jersey Deli Meats for a second. But what's crazy here is that these shell companies are able to go public with nothing, right? And the SEC will let you go through because you don't have much to go on. Anyone can just make a company and go public with it. What they did was they could trade on that company on the off markets and then raise up the price because the 60 shareholders were basically trading with themselves, bidding up the price of the company, which made the company look bigger than it was. Then they were able to buy another company and make that company go public, which inherently boosts the value of the company. So they merged with this biotechnology company.
Which we do deli and biotech. Yeah.
We do pastrami and the cure for COVID is what we're really focused on right now.
I want a gabagool with stem cells on it.
Oh, my God. If a pastrami sandwich was the cure for COVID, I wouldn't have gotten it twice. I'll tell you that much.
I'll tell you that much. I don't know. Well, I think we may have to do an episode on this guy because this was so – I couldn't even get my head around this thing. But these guys are all up to 20 years, securities fraud, wire fraud, bank fraud. And I don't know where this company from Macau went. It's just insane how people are doing this shit.
I was looking at the article. Is it old dudes?
Yeah.
Is 63 one guy, and 80? You're like, these are old men.
Peter Cocker, senior, is 80 years old. Fuck.
Yeah,
he's definitely dying in prison.
And then his son wrestled for him for Patton. And like what? He's 53?
60, man. Yeah, or junior, 53. He wrestled for Paul Marina. CEO was the football, who was the wrestling coach.
I mean, I really hope the one guy gets away with it. You know, that's the other thing. I, you know, as much as I hate fraud and like stealing from people, if you're doing it through the stock market, you know, give it a shot. You know, yeah, who knows? But
it does feel like who are the victims here? Really, you know. The cold cuts that don't get the attention they deserve. Yeah. I mean, you know, that's one less daily. And the kids in the wrestling camp, I guess, I don't know. It's just...
My hat's off to them. I'm proud of them for giving it a shot. You know, anytime you can bring in sandwiches, you know, and try to make a little extra money, it's hard.
Why not?
You know, I used to work for 99 miles to Philly in the East Village. You know, we're on 3rd Avenue and 10th Street, and the, you know, rent kept going up, but they eventually had to shut down because you can't charge $24 for a sandwich. You know, and so you get your money back. You know,
this place was known for its cheesesteaks as well, just over the bridge from Philly. Yeah.
Fuck yeah. Rock and roll.
Before we go, every week we have people share a scam story where they were a victim of a scam. And the last time you were scammed, can you share one? Do you have a story that you could share with us, an anecdote of maybe when you were scammed at some point?
There's a lot of people who were trying to scam me. I've within the last 6 years, I've lost both of my parents, and I'm an only child. And every time that I lost a parent, I would get like, you get put on some kind of weird list, and I would just get calls from all over the world, literally from Egypt and shit, telling me that my parents owed them money and I had to pay their bills or I was going to go to jail and stuff like that. And I think a lot of this shit, I mean, obviously I don't give a fuck. It's like, you know, go ahead, like, come after me, you know, but I also knew that both of my parents had zero estate when they passed away, and like negative, they had negative estate. So your parent dies with estate and you don't get any money, you don't have to pay for anything.
Right.
You know, that is a law, but they would just come and try to convince you up and down, left and right, how much money I owed them. And because my parents were irresponsible, and they scare you. And they think that you're going to have to pay for, you know, the irresponsibility of the ones you loved. And I'm sure this happens to people who lose children, who, you know, like a college student who owes a bunch of money, or someone who loses a sister. You know, like, this is money you don't have to pay back. And they're just going to come looking for you. And so it's tell everyone no. That was my big thing. And then I was trying to close out my mom's accounts, and then they all would make me jump through all these fucking hoops all the goddamn time. Like, I would just like, I would call them out of the goodness of my heart. My mom owed them money, car payment. I'd call them. I'd be like, my mom passed away. We got to get this car back to you. And then they're like, oh, we need proof of death. And it's like, all right, I'll email you a copy of the death certificate. And they're like, no, we need you to fax it to this number and fill out these forms. And it's like, no, I called you and I told you, mark it, because this is as good as it's going to get for you. So please remember, like, don't let these people torture you when you're grieving, because they, you know, they get rewarded by trying to steal from you when you're in a an emotional state, and it will happen. And so just be ready for it, especially if you come from a poor family, and your parents don't have much money. If you get a huge estate and they owe money to people, unfortunately, I'm pretty sure you have to pay that money back. But you know, both of my parents died negative, so I didn't have to pay anyone anything. Although yeah. I did have a credit card with my mom, and not a credit card, a bank account, and then that was negative because we were both on it. I had to pay that back. So, but that
well, you should have flipped it on them. It's just like, you guys owe me money. This is what happened.
It was it was Wells Fargo, you know, and those guys were fucking opening up fake bank accounts in people's names back then, you know, so they can go fuck themselves. But you know, so can any bank and anyone with more money than me, frankly. But the one time I got ripped off and I fell for it was I was trying to get some playoff tickets to go see the Heat, and some guy sold me tickets to a game that was like 3 weeks ago, and you know, and then he ran back, and then he just ran into the urban center of Miami, and he knew that I was not going to be chasing him. So anyway, we lost a couple hundred that day, but you know, go Heat, and
wow, that's like a real robbery scam there. Jeez.
Yeah. No, he sold me tickets to a Bucks game that was I looked at it, I was like, they got me. This is why you don't. And it's not like Ticketmaster's not stealing from you with their fucking fees, the sons of bitches. Oh my God.
We should do Ticketmaster.
I mean, honestly, they owed everyone money, got sued, gave everyone money, and then made it worse somehow.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. Why does the fee change every time I buy a ticket? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Why does it change if the ticket's more money? It's the same service. What are they doing to us? You know, if I buy a $30 ticket, why is it a less fee than when I buy a $300 ticket? It's a ticket. It's the same service. You're giving me the thing. It's the same thing. Animals. They don't let happiness in our lives anymore, Cena and Justin.
I appreciate
what you all do. And you go out there and you fucking expose these fuckers for the rest of us. Don't follow our bank accounts.
Do you have a stream tonight? Are you streaming tonight as well?
No, I'm not streaming.
We're just
tonight.
Recording.
October, yeah, we're just recording. Cena's going to be on the new brighter side where we talk about things like Ticketmaster. It's like scams and hidden fees and like, you know, all the fucking overdraft fees that banks do to us. And so that'll come out this Friday. So check that out. I have a stream on the Last Podcast Network. It's the second Tuesday of every month on Twitch. It's the Brighter Side Live where Amber Nelson and I, you bring us your problems and then we help you find the brighter side to your problems. So check that out. The next one's going to be on October 11th, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern. And also, if you want to learn about some of the stuff I was talking about that happened with my mom after she passed away, you could check out my movie, How America Killed My Mother. And you could rent it on Vimeo or howamericakilledmymother.com. It just got into Kevin Smith's Film Festival, the Smod Castle Film Festival. So if you're in New Jersey, Justin, I'm looking at you. We're going to be playing in the Atlantic Highlands November 30th through December 4th.
Hell yeah.
So come check us out. It'll be great. I'm very excited because it's a very New Jersey film. And so I'm glad to be showing it in New Jersey to some Jersey fucks.
That's great. Congrats. I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Hell yeah. Justin, you're getting up this week?
Oh, yeah. If you go to justinwilliamscomedy.com, you can always see my updated schedule. And if you send in me email, I'll come to your house.
Boom. I'm at Cena now. We'll be back next week for Fraud Wire, gearing up for season 3. Guys, I'm so pumped. And I think once we get closer to the season, we've got some goodies that we'll be teasing. We'll definitely be teasing them on the Discord. If you go to my social or the Fraudsters LPN, at Fraudsters LPN social, link in bio, check it out. You could get the link to our Discord to get the invite there to just join. We'll say hi. We have such a sweet and loving group in our Discord. It's really great. The Fraud Wire stories come from there a lot of times. And I'm going to be dropping new episode art there, new music. It's going to be really fun. And Eddie, I just want you to know that Reagan, someone in the chat named Reagan, wants me to tell you that her and her hubby
are super excited to see you on Friday in
Reagan
Cincinnati.
Piper Rose. Very yes, vocal. That's right. I love it. Yeah, no, dude, a sold out show. Cincinnati this weekend, right. Friday night. Yeah, baby. High Grain Brewery. Let's rock. I'm going to check out the Dolphins beat the Bengals on Thursday. And then I'm sticking around an extra day to do a show.
All right, everybody. We'll see you next week. Thanks so much.